talking, cause you know we got some problems. So tune on in the way we talk and how to solve them. We may laugh, we may learn, we might be your games, Miss MP.
Hey, good. How are you?
Good, not too bad. Not too bad.
Thanks for coming on.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
This is awesome. We've been wanting to have you on since we started the podcast, so this is so exciting.
Well, I'm excited. Thanks for wanting to have me on your podcast then.
Of course. So how is everything at Louisville so far?
Good. Very good. We just finished training, treatments, you know, middle of the season. We're trying to make the playoffs, I think, as possible. So optimistic. We just lost the Challenge Cup final this weekend against Courage, which obviously is disappointing, but overall going the right direction. You know, I'm coming back from my injury slowly and I'm trying to kind of find myself again, and I feel I'm getting there slowly.
When you say find yourself, like, can you go into detail a little bit more? Because I know injuries, it's like, it's physical, it's mental, it's everything. Like, how has it been for you?
I mean, all of the above, you know, obviously the mental aspect has been a big one to start with, just because it was my second ACL. It was big at the beginning, but once, like, I started going and I felt I was going in the right direction, I mean, it didn't feel that much. Now it's more about trying to find my shape, or, you know, what I want to be capable of doing on the field, like the impact that I want to have is not there, but I know it's going to come. It's just one of those things, you know, you can train as much as you want. It's just going to take the time it's going to take to find game shape. So yeah, I mean, I'm optimistic, you know, I'm very happy to be on the field again and not be in the gym stuck alone and go through all that shit. And honestly, it's weird because I don't know if you guys have like, major injuries. You never think of like little things when you're healthy, but once you get injured, like just being able to not be in pain, like laying there where you don't feel pain, you're like, oh, thank you so much. So there's a lot of days where I'm just like excited to, you know, be healthy again, and everything else that I can work on.
It's funny how you just feel so much more grateful when you do feel good, because yeah, you're going through the hell right now.
Yeah.
You said you tore your ACL twice. Was it the same knee or two?
No, it was the opposite. Like the first one I did in September 21, I think it was 11th of September. It was a tackle, like full contact. Some idiot came too late and she had no chance to get the ball. And then she kind of went through me and I was like, you know, on my way away and had like only one leg planted and she hits the leg. And then I had surgery 21st of September 21. And then I came back, you know, really quickly. I was playing, was a part of the Euros. I wasn't really, again, myself 100%, but I was slowly getting there. And then 2022, September 21st, the day I had my surgery, I know I'm like, God wants to tell me something. Again, it was a contact. And it's just, there was nothing I could do about it. And then I had my surgery a bit later this time because I had so many, you know, so many things lined up in the off season and I could not cancel them. So I had to like go through that and then get my surgery. But it's, you know, it's part of the game. And then, you know, I know mentally I'm very, very, very strong. And like I had like days, of course, I'm also a human being, you know, where you feel horrible and you feel bad for yourself. But at the end of the day, I try to maintain a positive mindset, because I think that probably has been the key for me to recover so quick both times and then being already on the field.
Yeah. Have you had any support, like with a therapist or sports psychiatrist or whatever it is, or even just groups or a book? Like, is there any resource that's really helped you get through this injury? Because it's your second one and we know it's like the biggest one that soccer girls are afraid of.
No, not really. I think, again, the reason is very simple. You know, I'm one of those people who can always put things in perspective. Yeah, it is horrible to be an athlete and being injured with like an ACL, but I've been through things that are a million times worse than this. And I was like, you know what? It could be so much worse. I know it sucks. I know that, you know, I'm going to be in this for like 7 months or whatever. But at the end of the day, I always try to find the positives in this. And then, you know, and it's the reality. It could be so much worse. Like, you guys at times would have no idea. And for me, I've been on the other side and I've seen a lot of crazy stuff and I've experienced it. But I even then, I know there's things, people who've been through worse than me. Mm-hmm. So I think being able to put things in perspective and you know, and I don't know, look a bigger picture.
Yeah, I like that the saying, just it could be worse. Like, that's just a good motto to like go yeah. around with, because it's honestly, it like brings a positive into it. It's like, it could be worse. I'm, you know, I am where I am now, but I can get back as a better player too. And I'm sure that you believe that.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, it's funny you said that, because it's one of those, it's become like a mantra of mine. And the reality is, I think not a lot of people will, if you sit down, no matter how bad of a situation you're in, you're always going to find positives, like no matter how hard the situation is. I remember, and it became a thing, I think it was 2019-20. I was in PSG. We had a great season, and PSG and Lyon are two, you know, Europe's two like toughest teams. And it was at the end, and the league always between Lyon and PSG, who's going to win the league. And we had same amount of points. It was the second last game of the season, and the team that's going to win will win everything. Like, you know, you become champions. And I remember, like, you know, we're like really optimistic before the game, like, this has been a great season. We're going to go kill them, you know, in Lyon, in front of, I don't know, 27,000 people. We went. I've never in my life played against a team that was that good within like 30 minutes. Oh my God. They were so good. And we could not I don't know, find our game. And we lost 4-1. And, you know, the day after the game, you're trying to find something positive. And then one of, you know, I was very, very devastated. You know, my some of my friends who plays Lyon, you know, they were kind of like, oh, welcome to Lyon, my love. And, you know, so I was hurt. My ego was hurt, everything. So then I wanted to like post something and then still say something like, you know, I don't know, something that cheers me up. Then I found a picture of myself and I was like, yeah, it wasn't the great, you know, greatest game, but you know what? It could be worse. I could be ugly. So then it became a thing, because it's not about like, you know, being vain or finding, you know, your like, it's not about the looks. It's about, you could be anything. Like I could say, you know, it could be worse. At least I'm breathing without an oxygen tank or so then it kind of became a thing. Even when we were training super hard and we had to do the runs, we'd be like, you know what? It could be worse. Imagine doing this while it'd be raining or snowing. And so I think for me, it's always like, there's always going to be a positive you can take with you. And I've been through my life always really aware of it, and actually really good in finding it, because then your focus just switches to that one positive, and then you can slowly add up the positives. So
I love that. That's such a great mindset to have. And it definitely probably helps you on and off the field having that mindset. Yeah. So we know you play, you just mentioned PSG. We know you played in so many different leagues and you've experienced different cultures, and we're sure your game has grown doing that. How do you think it's changed your game on the field and off the field, being in all those different places and playing with different people? Because you know 9 languages, right? Is that from playing everywhere?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, you grow as a human being, but also as a player, different coaches, different style of play. I think I went from being kind of, when I was younger, I was really, you know, I always wanted to have like super fun and try to make the most complicated things. I'll see something, I'll be like, oh, I'm going to try that on the field. So I wouldn't say I was really clinical, especially as a striker. I wasn't thinking of like play simple to like create something, but more like try to humiliate your opponent. So it's kind of probably like a street mindset. I think this is something that I've grown a lot with later on. Like the higher I got, the less time you have, and the more pressure there was from outside and the coaches telling me, Nadia, you cannot take 20 touches. You need to play faster. So obviously, you know, that's something that I've developed a lot. And also mindset wise, I don't think I've changed a lot. The one thing that's changed is probably that I've been more vocal. I used to, when I was younger, I don't really care about what was happening on the, like everyone else. I was just, you know, I'm like, I'm going to handle this myself. Now it's more about like trying to get everyone on the same page and trying to, you know, go, yeah, and like forced, and then tell everyone to follow, I guess. So those are couple, like some of the things that I've learned through my career in different countries, besides obviously the culture things that you pick up.
How do you think the women's game overall as a whole has grown since you started playing?
Oh, massive. It's been crazy to follow. You know, it's really nice to see how much it has developed, you know, from, I don't know, 15 years ago, when you were a major tournament, no one really knew about it because there was no media interest. There is the only people who show up at the stadium was your parents and your, you know, best friends. You know, you all have 50 people clapping, eh? So seeing the development of, you know, of the game is pretty cool. You know, having sold out stadiums, tournaments, of course, it, you know, because gets bigger when there's like a World Cup or European Championships or Olympics, but that kind of affects also the leagues. And, you know, it's not only about like the interest, but if they go hand in hand, the more interest, the more investment, better, you know, facilities, better quality, of players, higher level of sport. So it's kind of like, you know, we're in positive circle, I would say, right now. It's going the right direction, and really hope it's going to keep up, you know. And then at the end of the day, you want the same circumstances as you have on the men's side. I feel we're far from it, like when you break it down and see how things actually are. But I think it's going to come, you know. It's Rome wasn't built over one day. It's going to take time, the time that's going to take. But for me, the best thing is that we are on the right path. And I, one thing that I is also important for me is I really hope it's not going to be only few nations. You know, you want to be a global thing. You know, you want, I don't know, parts of South America, parts of Africa or Asia also to be involved, because right now, you have only like, you know, parts of North America, you have parts of Europe who are really going like women strong. Let's go. Let's make it bigger. But the world is way bigger than that. And I think for me, somehow, if we can bring access to those parts of the world where women's game is not that strong, any kind of sports, that would have a huge, like a bigger impact on, you know, the environment, on their well-being, on their, you know, futures than anywhere else. So this is something that I'm very, you know, passionate about, and I hope I can be a part of to change.
Wow, yeah, I love that. And it's been, even, you're right, Rome wasn't built in a day, but it's been so fun to even see this past World Cup, how many new teams and countries have actually like broken records. And it's just been so, it's just so, I'm sure like you're thinking back to when you were a kid and you would have never imagined you'd be where you are now and women's soccer would be where it is now. So it is so cool to see that growth. And we're so excited to see you as part of that, because you're definitely making a difference for sure just by playing. So tell us, you went to medical school?
Yep.
You're a doctor, right?
Yeah. I graduated last year, January 14th. I had my last exams. Yeah, it's, you know, it's been a long, 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 like, ride. I don't know. I've always played football because it made me happy. And I've enjoyed playing football. It's like, I still do. When I'm on the field, I forget everything around me. Like, I feel like I'm, you know, 9 years old again. But I always knew also that I wanted to have a bigger impact outside football in a different way. And, you know, of course, you can do it in a million ways. But I don't know. I think being a doctor was kind of my calling, because you get to have a lot of responsibility on your shoulders. You can literally save someone's life. Mm-hmm. And that somehow is appealing to me, like pressure, responsibility. I guess I wouldn't say it's power, but it is somehow indirectly. It is power, you know. So, you know, through my life, I know how it feels to be on the other side of people having power. And I know how much it had impacted me, my journey, my character, when someone acknowledged me or tried to help me. And I wanted to be in that situation. You know, I wanted to do that for other people, people who don't have, you know, a voice, or people who don't have anything. And you're the last person, last hope to do something. So yeah, started. And it took me, usually med school takes 6 years before pre-med. For me, it took longer. I did my bachelor 3 years, and then the master's was a bit hard because I was being I mean, I was also full-time pro when I was doing my bachelor, but I was in Denmark, and the system is built kind of around, like, it gives you time to, like, have education. So you'll train in afternoons, you know, after school. But once I, like, signed my first overseas contract, then it was really hard. So it took me longer. But yeah, last year was my final exams, and I was so, you have no idea the pressure I was feeling, you know, before and all these years with the exams. And I was, yeah, it was a big moment, and I'm very happy my mom was there to experience it, you know. So it was, yeah, I'm very, very happy that, you know, I've done both.
You are amazing. I mean, how did you balance it all? Like, how did you balance a social life, playing soccer, like keeping up with schoolwork? I mean, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. It wasn't easy. That's, you know, that's the truth. I'm not going to lie and make it super easy. It wasn't, you know, and so what I used to do, especially during my master's, is that in Denmark or in med school, how it works is that you have 2 months of mandatory where you have to be at the hospital internship. And previous this, like, you have 5 months, 3 months of 3 to 4 months of lectures, classes and stuff, but those are not mandatory. So what I used to do is I'll be in season during the classes or whatever, and then in the off season I'll used to take a semester where I'll just show up for the internship 2 months, because especially here the seasons are off season is quite long. So I'll prepare at home or in the club. Prepare I wouldn't really, because then I'll show up last minute, and I would have 2 months of internship while trying to study everything that I was kind of lacking. And then for the 2 months, 2-3 months, I had no life. Basically, I would, you know, wake up, do my training, and then study or do the internship, and show up for my exams. And somehow it worked. And I think if you really want something, you're going to find time for it. And that's what I did. I really, you know, of course, I've missed out a lot of things, my friends and myself, like a lot of experiences that where I was, you know, off season, my friends are, I don't know, in Mexico, Cancun, having the best time of, you know, time of their lives. And I'm sitting in like a little hall somewhere in a basement trying to study. Yeah, it's not always easy, but I knew what I was doing it for. I could always, you know, see the light. And I think that was kind of my motivation. And at the end of the day, I'm super, super, you know, proud, I guess. That's the right word.
Totally. To have done
both of it.
You could always go to Tulum another time. You don't have to.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I say. You know, I'm going to go when I'm a doctor.
Yes, exactly. And ball out.
I feel like that goes with same thing with soccer. If you want to be a pro, like, you want to make yourself proud, and you're going to do anything you can to achieve your goals. So if that means missing out on things, it's worth it to you if that's what you really want. So I love that. How do you avoid burnout?
That's a good question. I think, again, it's you know, for me, it's a mixture between what I don't want to experience again. So, like, I'm trying to get away from being, I guess, powerless, helpless, and then my destiny being on someone else's hand. I don't want to experience that helplessness ever again. That's one of them. And the other one is my motivations, the goals that I have, you know. So those things always work as, like, an engine. So I've never really felt that, oh, I'm being forced. I've never, like, had that feeling. It's always been something that I wanted to do, you know. I think this fire is always been there, and my motivation, as I spoke earlier, was, you know, to make a difference, be like, have an impact on other people's lives, because I think that's a end of the day how you define humanity and humans, and I want to be a good person. And because I know how big of an impact it can have on other people's lives, and I've experienced it. I've been in the worst place you can be, and then someone just gave me a banana and it changed my life, you know. So it's a little thing, it's a little sparks. You can just smile at someone, it is going to change their entire life. So that's my biggest motivation. And plus, also, I want to help my family, you know. We came, you know, we had a great life, went to, like, the worst path ever, lost everything you had, and then you had to rebuild everything. So that hunger to try to get back and be where you used to be, I think that's also been a big engine, not only for me but also for my family, because we're all very driven and we all want to help each other, help our family, help the, you know, locals around us. And then when you have the energy, help globally, you know, do more. Because why not?
Love that so much. And I feel like that kind of segues into this final question, because we know you have to go. What do you want to be remembered for? Like, what is the legacy that you want to leave on the field?
I want to be remembered as someone who broke a lot of barriers. I think someone who wasn't, I guess, contained in a box. I think, you know, that's probably been my path or my journey. Someone who showed that, you know, everything's possible as long as you want it, on and off the field, and then that you as a human being, as a woman, whoever you are, those limitations that are put upon you, or those boxes that you are being put in, those doesn't really exist if you don't want it to be in them. So I think that's kind of, I really want that to be my legacy, someone who, you know, broke out of the boxes. Because let's be honest, you know, I was born in Afghanistan, where as a girl you are put in a million boxes, and I've always tried to like kind of remove those walls. And I think even later on coming to Denmark, you still think, oh, now things change, but in reality you still are in boxes, because you are, you know, a woman, or you're not supposed to do this, you can't do this, or you're an athlete, you cannot do, like, you can't study, if you study you can't be an athlete. There's a lot of things, you know, there's so many people trying to tell you what you can do and what you can't do, and I hate that. At the end of the day, it should be in your hands. If you want something, go for it. And I think that's hopefully going to be my, you know, my legacy. Oh yeah, she did whatever she wanted to do. Boss.
That is amazing. Honestly, like, you're so inspirational, and we're so happy to have talked to you. And I feel like so many players listening can learn so many things from this conversation. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Of course. I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much, Nadia. We appreciate it.
Of course, guys. Have a good one. Ciao.
Bye.
Bye.